Welcome to another episode of the Splitting Hairs podcast, presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated. In this episode, the B-team recaps the final home game, a senior day game versus Illinois State, and talks MVFC playoff hopes. Splitting Hairs podcasts are all brought to you by Drake's Place, Cottonwood Coffee, and are also sponsored by Dakota Iron Equipment, Shenanigans Pub, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. Now here's your hosts, Ben and Brendan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the B-team. However you may be joining us, thanks for making us part of your day. I know we are a little bit late, but that's okay. You'll probably get over it. We are, of course, the B-team, brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated, part of the FCS Fans Nation network of podcasts. We are brought to you, as always, by our title sponsors of Drake's Place in Bottle, South Dakota, home of the best pizza and calzones you can find this side of the Dakotas, as well as some awesome pizzas, off-sale liquor, and gasoline in your regular convenience store purchases. And we are also brought to you by Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro in Brookings, South Dakota, also found in your Minnesota Walmarts or online. If you go online, use the code JI22 and get 10% off your order, although some restrictions may apply on specific items. Otherwise, as always, I'm here with Ben and Chad. Chad, Ben, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
It's a relaxed pod, right?
Better than I deserve.
Oh, boy. I was good until I saw the score of the SDSU basketball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shut it off. We went down like 9 right before half. They hit 2 trays and we were.
Maybe I won't.
I got home from eating dinner with Ariel and I turned it on before I jumped on here. And I went to Twitter first and I saw Reaching the Summit Pod had said that the Jacks had gotten within 4. And the tweet was 2 minutes ago, and or was 13 seconds ago. I turned the game on and we were down by 12. I was like, holy shit, that didn't go well. But it is Arkansas. They're like number 9 in the country. Don't expect an extremely engaged Ben in this podcast till the game's over. As you can tell, if you're watching live, he doesn't even back look right here.
Yeah, but if it's out of reach, then he should be less engaged, I would think.
Maybe. You should have seen this whole reverse dunk this Arkansas guy just did. We look severely overmatched. And to be fair to the guys, back-to-back nights is tough. Flying to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
One thing doing back-to-back nights in a tournament in the same city, but
yeah,
the flight in between is brutal.
We were texting about that, too. You know, and I was really glad, and we were really glad that we played St. Bonaventure first, because obviously that's the far more winnable game, and you wouldn't want the more winnable game on the back end where you're wiped out from playing the number 9 team in the country. So the way it's played out is not going to go for a good showing in this game, but I think it was the better way for that format to go if you have to go that back-to-back.
Probably. But this is an SDSU football podcast. We should probably talk about football.
Hey, we've done a basketball podcast.
Why don't we talk about FA? What are we supposed to be talking about, FA here?
Oh, that's what I have for supper. It was good. The place downtown. It was good stuff. Oh,
yeah, that place is
FA.
Yeah.
Was I froze for a second there?
Yeah, no, you're still froze. There.
Now you're back.
There you are. Look at you go.
Right. Dude, you got to pay for better internet out there.
FA is amazing. Who did you go at FA?
Yeah, we went downtown. I just texted you, but you were playing basketball.
You guys did together.
No, me and Ariel.
No, Ariel and him.
Oh, okay.
If you read the comment.
I see that. But it's...
He froze up so he couldn't hear the conversation.
Oh, right. Fair.
Where'd you go? Which place?
The place downtown, right on the corner
of
Phillips.
Is it called Pha?
It's Taiwanese Pha or something like that. I don't know. It was good.
Go to the one on 12th and
yeah, I've gone to that one before too. That one's really good.
That one's really good.
It's literally
Pha King.
Q-U-Y-N-H.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's Pha Thai. Pha Thai is where we went. But anyways, it is a relaxed podcast though for us because clinched the Valley solo, clinched a top 2 seed. We are not having to have an away game until January 8th. And I hope everybody is marking their calendars. The 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th, possibly the 16th, will all be home games for the Jacks. clear your schedule. I don't care. I don't care what the temperature is. Buy a jacket. They sell them. This is South Dakota. They got them. Maybe get some hand warmers. They even have heated jackets now. Ask Ariel about how awesome the heated hoodie, Milwaukee heated hoodie is. And like Jim Poppin says, we ain't sharing. And that was such a funny video of Stig. And you could see him trying to goad him into it. And he's so Stig. It was so on brand of, yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? And they're like, no, the camera. We ain't sharing. And he's like, what? Oh, yeah. We ain't sharing. And that was phenomenal. That was the best.
Yeah, it was good. Look at Dustin Helton calling us wusses.
Yeah, I mean,
what, look. What was it, the game?
Look, no. I'm being honest. You know what? I'm not even going to defend it. I'm not going to defend it. We had fans in cubbies, like, sheltering from the cold who had tickets for the game. Like, I don't – call them out. Like, I get, I don't know if anybody's listened to Zimmer on his pod with John Gaskins or the show with Zach Borg. He does bring up a valid point. He says, look, South Dakotans are not the hardy outdoor watching football fan base. They're not. They're a bunch of, honestly, soft dome fans. And that's why I don't feel bad saying – and people got upset that Matt put out this – one line in his game recap, like one line, and people lost their minds. How dare you attack the fan base? How dare you? And it's like, oh, where was this indignation when we were just running down our game day operations on this podcast, just ragging on them for like 10, 15 minutes straight? But I think if you feel that tender about it, either you or someone close to you has made that decision and you have the strong urge to defend that sort of activity, but we've got to learn as a fan base, you got to show up. And this is the playoffs. This is big boy time. This is time to grow up as a fan base. We're in top two seed and show up for the boys. And that's about as far as I'm going to go on that. Cause if I do, it's just going to get, I'm really going to piss in some people's Cheerios. So I'm not going to go that far, but that's just where I stand on it. We got to, and the 8,000 there. I mean, let's be honest. The 8,000 was a lot better than it would have been in the past, to be fair. And with the long student weekend, it killed the attendance too. I think if it's a regular weekend and the student shows up half as well as they have all year, then that's a 10,000 crowd.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's Rich coming from the Rev. I heard him complaining about 50-degree weather on the wax.
Right.
Yeah, he was saying how it was cold down there.
On the Jackoff Whackoff pod.
Really?
Yeah, the Whackoff Jackoff pod was just hysterical listening to them snivel about it was 52 degrees and it was 37 degrees when the game was over. Like, all I did and all I wore was a light break. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah, we're wearing a light windbreaker. That's a YP, buddy. That's not a cold weather problem.
Yeah.
That's okay. Hey, we love you guys down on the Wax On Pod. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate being on there. If you missed it, it was a good time. There's a lot of fun banter on there. Cardboard Rev got stabbed in the nuts, which was funny. simulating a procedure that was done on other people recently. So it was a hoot.
Yeah. But the game, though.
The game.
Let's talk about the game.
Let's talk about it. I have thoughts.
My thoughts are that our defense is phenomenal. Like,
unreal. Yes.
I mean, they gave up 0 points. It was 31-7. The 7 came on a block punt. And the positions that our offense and special teams put them in were not good. And
no,
Illinois State didn't even reach the red zone one time.
Well, it makes sense. They only gave up 100 yards. Ben's frozen. So I'll keep talking. No, the defense was incredible. Are you still froze, Ben?
I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I was just saying. Today, shoot, I'm not surprised. Like, they only gave up 100 yards. That was crazy. Like,
right.
That's insane. When I looked up at halftime and saw they only gave up 44 yards at half. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, because Gronowski had the interception at midfield. Yonke had the muff punt at midfield. And then after they pinned us deep, I think they got it again in midfield after a punt, and to have them not even enter the red zone one time is just stupid good. Granted, their starting quarterback was out, but I mean, the backup wasn't a slouch. I mean, he was still decent, and they're just I mean, the way they're playing right now, and we still had another guy out. Peyton Schaefer didn't even play this game,
right?
So, like, I mean,
Savion had a game.
Oh yeah, Jason Freeman had an amazing game. Savion had a big game. It's just they only had 7 total first downs the whole game.
Stupid.
and Illinois State only had 19 minutes of time of possession, which
that's nutty. And you know, when you watch the offense, like and here's my thing, the offense started definitely slow for sure. The defense didn't. And I think it was about halfway through the second quarter when I started to take notice of the yardage that was being posted on screen. Like, we had 130 yards to like 20 at one point, and it's like, okay, this is going to turn around. Like, this, we're going to start putting it in. It's going to be okay. And the offense ended up performing really well for 3 quarters, honestly. That Illinois State defense is no slouch. They only gave up 24 in the Fargo Dome, which is quite honestly pretty impressive. That offense is averaging like 38 points a game or something. So they're no slouch of a defense. They are really high end. That number 5 was a monster. That guy is just a problem. If he doesn't play on Sundays, I'd be kind of flabbergasted.
That dude's really good. Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a defensive player shut down a game like that outside of Troy Anderson, like all on his own.
Yeah. And he was single-handedly he was all over the place.
At the same time, it felt like we didn't always know where he was and like why.
Well, I mean, they moved around every play. He was on it. He kept flipping sides, and
you should still know where number 5 is. Like,
yeah, there's only so much you can do for flipping your protection when he's dropping in coverage and then doing a delayed blitz. Sometimes that stuff happens. You know, the defense.
I mean, that first sack of Mark, he went completely untouched. Just
nobody.
Yeah, that was not ideal. But
yeah,
I mean, Mark should have saw him maybe in hard. Was that an empty set, empty backfield on that one? Did he not have a running back?
I don't remember. No, we very rarely run empty sets. I doubt it, but
so he could have flipped the running back at least. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you do?
But anyway,
with the way that position's lined up, he could drop or blitz. That's the way that's designed, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, early in the game, Illinois State's defense was shutting us down, and Vandenberg was a big part of it. And credit to Lujan. I mean, they were like, we were trying to establish the run. You could tell that. And Illinois State was selling out on the run. Yep. And credit to Lujan, he made the right adjustment. We needed to hit some deep shots, and we did. I mean, Jaden was one on one, and you're not going to guard Jaden one on one downfield. Kronowski did the right thing, gave Jaden a chance to catch it. And which was great to see, because we've seen a lot of overthrows by Gronowski on those where he's like trying to hit him on stride. But this game, it looked like he really made a point to give Jaden a chance to adjust to the ball and go get it. Even if it wasn't going to be in stride for a touchdown, it was going to be a catch for a 50 yard gain, which I love to see, because we're going to need that going forward just to make sure that teams can't sell out to stop the run. And you know, we've loved these short passes, but if teams are low in the box, selling out to stop the run and stopping those short passes, we're going to be forced to throw deep. And I think Gronowski can do it. He's shown he can. But it was good to see some of those deep shots get hit, because that's been something that we haven't done as much this year.
Yeah, that was huge. just showing the ability to do that in the cold weather like this, actually, I think was a huge deal. And the cold, the wind, stuff like that. Not that we haven't been incapable of doing that in the past, but I distinctly remember that Villanova game in the playoffs. I don't know if you remember that game where it was like 10-7 we won, ended Andy Talley's career. We were incapable of doing exactly what we did this last game with Mark, and that was with Taryn and Jake and Dallas and those guys. We couldn't hit those shots over the top to loosen them up, and this game could have really honestly could have gone that way, but Mark and Coach Lujan stepped up, and Mark hit the plays and really forced them to loosen up, and then that really got the offense screaming. And
yeah, And the other thing that we did see them break out that I feel like we haven't seen them do since probably the NDSU game, maybe, but even really since Mark's injury, is running Mark more, in which I've been fine with not seeing it all year because I want him to be healthy. But you could tell, like, Luhan could sense that we needed a spark, and we weren't going to have this letdown game. We weren't going to let this top two seed, you know, slip away from us. And so they said, you know what, we're going to break out Mark running the ball, and we're going to make sure we take control of this game. And again, like, it's just good to see that. It's good to put that on film between that and the deep shots for teams to have to prepare for that.
Yeah.
Matt has a little bit of a theory on that. When Mark gets a chance to run into a good pop, he seems to loosen up a little bit. And he
gets that first really shot.
Perform better after that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost like when Brett Favre used to have, I don't know if anybody, but you grew up watching the Packers when Brett Favre played there. He had to throw an interception before he would calm down and start hitting passes. Like, that was the way that went. Mark is a far better version where he needs to get hit by somebody on a run, which I would way take over an interception. But he almost has that same quality where he gets popped, and exactly what you and Matt have said is he he's in the game and he's loosened up and got the jitters out. And I think some of the running being unleashing, running him a little more too, had to do with having basically three weeks off before the next game where, you get banged up a little more. He's got a lot of time to relax, you know, and try to get healthy. So I think maybe that played a little bit into it too, outside of just making sure we secure the top two seed, which, I mean, you know what? Everybody's been doubting it. You know, oh, when are they going to trip up? We brought it up. The letdown game, is it going to happen? This is the game that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We all get really wound tight. You know, we fall behind in the first quarter, have a bad first quarter, or things start to go. I think that this team has earned a little bit of trust from us as a fan base, where maybe we take a little bit longer before we start freaking out. You know, maybe wait until that second half and let them start turning things around before we really start losing our minds on Twitter and everything else. Because I was getting that way in the stands, and I looked up and saw the yardage difference, and I'm like, you know what? We're okay. It's going to be fine, you know. And then you saw things start to click on offense, and we weren't up by a ton at half, but no great. I don't care how good the team is. You're not going to be leading by 20 points at half every time, especially against a team with a solid defense like Illinois State. Sometimes you got to wear them down. So eventually they finally wore that Illinois State defense out, loosened them up with that deep ball. And I think they've earned a level of trust from us as fans that they're going to get it done.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to bring up Paul Seiler's comment, he said Davis was still not close to right. I think Davis has a lingering injury. You can kind of tell on some runs he comes out, the shoulder's hanging a little bit. I think it's – I forget. It was for sure in the NDSU game he had an issue with it when he was trying to finish off some runs. And so I think that is a lingering deal that may – and hopefully it'll get better in the couple weeks we have off here. And then Jesse asked, any word on why Kraft was out on a lot of big plays, injury still bothering him. I haven't heard any word of that. I'm guessing it was more of a pitch count thing of, like, they just had Hines in as our main tight end, and then Kraft just came in on two tight end sets just to kind of keep his snap count down a little bit, especially later in the game, knowing that, you know, this game's in hand. We got 2 weeks off. We got to get ready for the playoffs. We need Kraft healthy. And he did come off the field earlier in the game with kind of a shoulder stinger or something. So that was my take on it. I don't know if you have any other opinion on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's super concerning him or Isaiah with those sort of nagging injuries, or a lot of those guys. You know, the comparison's starting to be made a lot similar to the spring season, where we were healthier than we've ever been when we got to that NDSU game in the playoffs and everything like that because of the long layoff. And I think this is going to have the same effect. I still hate when the bye was. I mean, even if it is working in our favor, I think that's a bullshit schedule. But right. It just so happens because I think some of it has led to these nagging injuries that we have that have been compounding on themselves. Right. Instead of getting a week of rest at, say, week 8, they just keep compounding and compounding and compounding, especially when you go to North Dakota State, to North Dakota, to Northern Iowa. Like, that is going to happen. Those are violent, violent games. If you don't get a break in between any of them, it's going to be a mess. But that being said, these nagging injuries that I think are maybe limiting plays and putting guys on a pitch count, I think those should be mostly cleaned up, hopefully, by the time we get to that first round game or second round because we get the bye.
I mean, really, how many teams in the country play 11 weeks in a row?
Right.
We might be one of the only ones.
Which, by the way, is what, a year removed from playing, what was it, 26 games straight in the calendar year, ending that string of games on going and playing in every time zone in the United States outside of Hawaii. So it's just things happen. You deal with adversity. This team is that good where they've dealt with adversity all year, over and over and over, injuries, falling behind in games, everything. I mean, I don't know what more they have to do to prove to anybody that they can pull themselves out of almost any situation, and we should give them till halftime. I mean, coming back in the shopping mall up north and then coming back at the Postal Service sorting center and then coming back after giving up all the points that you and I – and then this last game, I don't know what more you need from them to do to prove to anybody that they're going to take care of business. I do want to – Ryan Drake popped up a comment about everybody being confident in Sac State taking out UC Davis, and I absolutely agree with that. He says, why does everyone have so much faith in Sac State beating UC Davis when Sac State beat Idaho by 3 at home and Davis just blew Idaho out on the road, which is my favorite thing in the world because – all these Big Sky guys, which, yeah, I will agree. The Big Sky has overall been just the better conference. Just, you can't really argue it resume-wise. But when you're using all these comparative scores, it's just stupid because Sac State barely beat Idaho by 3, and then Davis blows Idaho out. So that naturally means that UC Davis is going to win by 47 at Sac State, right? Because that's how this works. It's just simple math. Right? We don't actually have to play the games. No, it's stupid. Comparative scores are stupid. You're stupid if you use comparative scores. I hate it. So that's my little rant. But genuinely speaking, I think Sac better be coming loaded for bear because I think UC Davis is actually a far better team than Montana. I don't think Montana has any better record than UC Davis if they play that schedule. And I think UC Davis is just a better team. Montana almost beat Sac State. I mean, if they don't get a really blown call, Sac State loses that game. So I would not be surprised if Davis did beat Sac State, which leads to a whole new interesting scenario. Where does Sac State fall to? Do they fall to the 3 seed? Does NDSU jump them? Does Samford jump them? Like, that'll create a really interesting Selection Sunday. That's part of what I'm so excited for this weekend. It's just going to be sit back and relax and just take it all in and see the chaos unfold in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think Sac State's got a difficult game. I think UC Davis is on a roll, and I think they're better than people gave them credit for.
What's the line on that game?
I suppose you'd
be able to find it because that'd be a fun one. I would consider driving just across the Iowa border and putting some money on that game, depending on that line. Jim Poppins says, with ESPN Plus all afternoon, that's kind of going to be my jam.
Sac State is favored by 7.5.
Ooh, I was hoping it was going to – I was really thinking they were going to put it at some stupid like 10.5. I still might put money on Davis on that. The only game they've gotten blown out was when they had 4 out of 5 games that they played against either solid Power Five team at a or at a top five team or playing a top five team. I think they played at Weber, didn't they? Or they play Weber at home?
I can't remember.
Or they play at Montana State. Ron Lowney, where are you at? Did they play at Montana State? Come in. Make me proud, man. You should know this. You should be faster than Ben looking it up. Boo, Ron. What the hell, man?
Were you talking about
Sac State? There is a 10-second YouTube delay, Brendan.
So I don't care. The Cats beat them by 17. I don't care how much the Cats beat them by. They beat them at the end of playing at Cal, at SDSU, and then it was at, he says, yes, it was at Montana State. Then Weber at home.
Correct.
At Montana State. I mean, that is a really tough stretch, and 100%. And I'm not saying Montana State wouldn't have beat them anyways. I'm just saying it probably would have been a little bit less if they weren't going through that row. So I think they're going to put on a lot better performance against Sac State. I would probably put money on UC Davis in that scenario because that's a big rivalry game.
What are the chances that Montana State, Sac State, and NDSU all lose? I mean,
low.
It's possible.
The chances that they all lose, low. The
let's put a parlay on that, right?
One of them.
Three-leg parlay.
Oh, that's a terrible, that is an awful idea. Don't bet that parlay.
The chances that one of them lose is about 50-50. I think one
I would put a 50% chance that one of them. Is that a bet you can make that one of these three teams can lose?
Yeah. No.
One of three parlay. That's a
I'm just here to give Vegas ideas.
I don't think they take you up on that.
Cowards.
Am I? You could do a round robin with the money line. The underdog money lines would probably be your best bet. You have to bet two ways three times.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't know if you'd make money on that or not. But anyway.
Well.
Back to the game that we were talking about. We will talk about UND and NDSU shortly here. I did have Jackson, Yankee. So Jaden had the nice ones downfield. Jackson, Yankee, and Mark Gronowski have a connection with the sideline throws that is getting to be very difficult to stop. They've got the timing down. And Mark has the arm strength and Jackson has the body control to get those sideline throws. And those are going to be key come playoff time. There was one where Mark gave Jackson a signal and Jackson did a, I don't know, like a 15 yard out or something like that. And right on the sideline, and it was money and it was a thing of beauty. And so watch for that going forward. Good to see Hines with a TD. Yeah. I would like to see them use the tight ends more in the red zone. I think our tight ends are underutilized in the red zone. We got two of the best tight ends in the FCS. I think we need to use them more. Lastly, we went 6 of 6 in the red zone, which is awesome. But three of those were field goals, which I'm not okay with. And especially when two of them, we essentially had a first and goal. And so those we need to get touchdowns out of.
You got notes.
What's that?
You got notes, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I make notes
every game. You go. Really? I never noticed you reading them. Look at you, you prepared son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. So my point is with all the struggles that we did have to get going, we did only punt one time. Which is a good thing. And so outside of the interception and the fumble punt, basically the only thing stopping us is ourselves. And so like our defense is going to stop teams and our offense is going to go as far as this team takes them or this team is going to go as far as our offense takes them is what I was trying to say there. But I think that we, as long as we play mistake-free football, I don't think a team beats us.
Yeah. The offensive penalties just kill us, but we need to clean up the special teams. Cause that's the biggest thing. You know, I don't think it's, like as far as the offense takes us sort of thing. I mean, we've scored over 30 points a game for what, the last five games now? Last 5 weeks. Going back to UND, we scored over 30. We scored over 30 every week after. You know,
I'm not saying I doubt them.
But, no, I'm just saying more I think the defense is going to carry us a lot of places, and I think that's why we have so much confidence in everything, because the offense is also really good. The special teams is the killer. That's the one that's really – I mean
– it's worrisome.
It is concerning. I mean, it speaks to how good this team is that they can repeat – to repeatedly have these special team errors that we've had and win anyways, and a lot of times win by a healthy amount is – phenomenal. In the playoffs, though, that stuff is killer. It is absolutely killer. The fumbles and the blocks, particularly. Thank God we're at home, because a block kick is going to have far less of a momentum shift than it would on the road at somebody's house, say at Montana State, may block a kick and that stadium just erupts. You know, that's a huge difference. But got to find a way to – got to be sharp on that in everything. That's the one that really is – that's the my biggest issue overall with the team. I don't – I'm not terribly concerned about the offense or the defense, but, man, these special teams. Three phases, man. We got to get that third one down.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. And I was just saying that, I mean, as long as we're scoring – as long as we're converting red zone chances into touchdowns and not turning the ball over – I think it's going to be hard for teams to beat us. I honestly think that with all of our games being at home throughout the playoffs, I think that we are favored in every game through even through the championship. I think no matter who we face in the championship, we'll be favored.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this game was kind of an anomaly. I think it was more has to do with how good the Redbirds defense was, because we've been really good. Yeah. We're the number three team in the country in red zone offense right now. So I think that was more of a hiccup than anything red zone wise.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Let's go through the pick recap. And then we'll get to the Missouri Valley standings.
What's our total at? I feel like I did really well this week.
Did you? You feel that way?
I felt like I did, but apparently not. I never did well, if you're laughing. If I feel well, like I did well, I didn't do well.
No, you went 1-4.
I pulled a Ben. What did you go?
2-3.
I don't feel bad. I'm still beating you. What's the total? Yeah.
I'm 32-37 overall. You're 35-34 overall.
Hey, still 500.
That makes you money.
It does. It one does. Unit.
So 10 bucks. Why did you pick Western Illinois, by the way? Did you actually? Or did I put that
did
down
I on? Actually pick Western Illinois? I could have like swore I picked enough. Indiana State.
I don't know. If you don't,
I want to throw the chat. You know what? Whatever. I'll give you that one. That's fine.
You can. You can throw the challenge flag, but Indiana State won 21-0. They covered. UND won 28-19. They covered. That's the only one you got right. Youngstown State lost 25-22. They did not cover for us. NDSU only beat Southern Illinois 21-18. That game was a little worrisome for NDSU. It got a little interesting, but they pulled it out. They did not cover, though. And then SDSU, we both picked Illinois State to cover, and they couldn't do it for us. SDSU wins 31-7.
No, I was wrong. Rats.
Yeah. So let's go on to the Missouri Valley standings.
Can we answer Jabari Jones's question here? He's been coming on the last 3 weeks asking us questions about Conference USA. Can we address this?
You can.
Okay. Jabari, Kennesaw State moving to CUSA might end up being a bigger dumpster fire than Georgia State going there. unless you plan on doing the cash giveaways and stuff, I think if I remember right, Georgia State did some goofy thing where they dropped cash from the rafters of the dome to try to get people to show up. I don't think it's going to go well. I just don't think they're prepared for it. It'll go better than Sam Houston. I think Sam Houston going to Conference USA is a wastewater plant with a tire fire on top of it, also burning, going to FBS, because their own administration's like, yeah, I don't know. We don't know how we're going to pay for this. That's in God's hands. We don't know. which is an interesting tactic to take when you're taking out a big financial liability like that. So I think it'll go better than Sam Houston State. It's going to be really rough, man, because you are going to have to I think they're going to have to try to get out of running the triple option. And I don't care how much money they have. I really don't care how much money KSU has. You don't have anybody showing up to games. Like, you can afford it. That's fine. But what do you got going on in the background here?
Chad's got our last week's episode playing in the background.
Chad, we can hear you.
You can hear that? Shit, I'm sorry.
Jesus, mute yourself, big dog.
It's only supposed to have the tab that's open, the audio working for us. Sorry, I was trying to look it up for you.
That's fine.
You learned some things on the fly.
I appreciate it, but I'm hearing this radio in my head.
We are in preseason form. Heck yeah.
Right. What it boils down to for me, they don't have the fan support right now. I don't see them growing the fan support through a tough transition because they're going to have to move away from running the triple option. And no team has ever moved away from running the triple option without being a tire fire for the first 3 years. So now you're going with FCS players to FBS, switching over from an outdated system with O-linemen who aren't built to run a regular offense in college. And it's not going to be pretty for the first 5-6 years. And I don't see how you cultivate a fan base when you couldn't get anybody show up at all. Like their attendance is like USD levels of attendance. So you can have all the money in the world, but if nobody's showing up, who gives a shit? You know, that's just my opinion. So I think they're going to be just as irrelevant as they have been at FCS with less success. So that's how I feel on that. I don't care how much money the TV contract's a joke, so that's how I feel about that as well. I mean, yeah, you can't draw any people on Saturdays for a team that was going quarterfinals. I don't see how you're drawing people on what they agreed to Wednesday games or something like that for Conference USA. That's not going to show up as well. Jacksonville State, like Dustin said, probably has the best shot at being successful there. And that is my spiel on that. But because it's a bye week, I wanted to take time to shit on them just for fun. I mean, it doesn't matter the size of the stadium either, Jabari. Nobody's showing up to it. It could be the Rose Bowl. If nobody's showing up, there's still only 8,000 fans there. It just looks even worse. So who cares? Our stadium's a nice stadium and big, but it still only had 8,000 people in it. So it didn't matter last weekend. So who cares?
Let's get back to the task at hand.
Anyways, yeah, I'm done arguing about that. So
Missouri Valley standings are up on the screen. SDSU top of the heap. We ain't sharing. 8-0 in the conference.
We ain't sharing.
First time ever. Love to see that. And then you've got NDSU, UND, Youngstown State, UNI, Southern Illinois, Illinois State, and then at the bottom, Missouri State, USD, Indiana State, and Western Illinois, who may go without a win in the whole season. They're 0-7 in a valley, 0-10 overall. That's a rough season. Yikes. Let's, as far as playoff implications, I think obviously we're a top two seed. NDSU is a lock to be in the playoffs. I don't know that they're locked for a seed yet. If they lose to UND, I could see them falling out of the seed conversation because they just don't have real good wins. They have the name recognition, which may get them like a 7 or an 8 seed, depending on what else goes on. But I would not be surprised to see them fall out of the seed conversation if they lost to UND. And UND, the interesting thing is they have 7 wins already, but they may need to win this game to make the playoffs.
Right.
They don't have a great resume. And so they'll have some motivation. If they lose this game, they're going to be worried all day on Sunday, Saturday night and Sunday morning, wondering if they made the playoffs or not.
Yep.
And then we've got Youngstown State, who is 6-4. If they win, they're in. If they lose, they're out. It's pretty simple for them.
Youngstown State, you think if they win, they're in?
I
don't know, man. I don't think so. I don't know. Who'd they beat? They haven't beaten anybody. Their best win would be Southern Illinois. It'd be 5-6.
Well, I'll say if they win, they're bubble. You're right.
They'll be really shaky bubble.
If they win, they're bubble.
Yeah, we can get into that a little later.
I think if they win, they're bubble. They lose, they go home. If Southern Illinois wins, I think that they're a bubble. I think
no, they're not. Southern,
I'm just saying.
No, they're not.
If you look at the resume, listen,
it's not good. It's a dog shit. If you look at
the resume, I think they have a better resume than UND does at 7-4. They've got the win over UND, and they have a win at Northwestern, and a close loss to NDSU.
Right, and they also got beat by 40 points by Incarnate Word and lost to SEMO.
I'm just telling you that. Well, I guess the point is,
there is nobody's get
2 Missouri Valley teams in.
Nobody's making it with 6 wins this year. I am stopping this tomfoolery. There's no way. I don't care if Youngstown's 7-4. They haven't beat anybody. You're going to be going against.
I was wrong.
Teams. There's a lot of bubble teams that are pretty. If Youngstown State would have won last week, I'm all about it. Yeah, they'd be in.
I meant but, Youngstown State wins and they're on the bubble. I didn't mean Youngstown State and they're in. I know I said that, but UND winning in, Youngstown State winning bubble. Southern Illinois, probably not.
No.
But we may only get 2 in, probably a maximum of 3, which is kind of weird.
The irony of it being is if Southern Illinois actually performs out of conference and a couple other teams as well, you know, you and I, they actually perform out of conference, the Valley all of a sudden, the whole perception's flipped.
Right.
We're getting 4 or 5 teams in, but they didn't. And the irony of trying to argue for them at 6-5 when they're the reason everyone thinks the Valley's down is just phenomenal. The paper resume thing, it matters, Darren. It's the real deal. Like, that's what they're going off of. Because if you just eye test it, that it gets so biased so fast. And we're, like Tim says, we're probably a 3-bid league. If stuff goes sideways enough, we might be a 2-bid league. And I'm for that. I mean, outside of being a little bit offended in my Valley sensibilities because the whack A-Sun ends up with the same amount of bids as the Valley, realistically, who gives a shit? Then we don't have to have UND getting sent to us because we're within their bus trip, and that's a very likely possibility. And am I scared of playing them again? No. Do I necessarily want to either? Also, no. I don't want to see UND. I don't want to see any Valley team. So I hope they don't make it.
So how's Montana's paper resume if they don't win?
Garbage. It is garbage. Right,
they're not. I think they're out if they lose.
If Idaho loses, they are as they have as weak of a resume as Youngstown State. There's 31 teams, including the people already locked up auto bids. 31 teams fighting for that'll be at 7 wins or more. And the real kicker is like one of the last teams. I don't know if anybody watched the FCS Fans Nation resume, the playoff field, and then Kyler was a dick and made him, he's going to make their whole thing wrong because he picked Montana to beat Montana State, which was funny, but he straight up did it to make it just a shit show. And it was awesome. But if you look at it though, coming down to it, the Eastern Kentucky out of the A-Sun, they'll have beaten Bowling Green, who just became bowl eligible last night. On one of the, I only saw the replays because of Sickos committee, but that game was insane. there was three touchdowns scored in like the last minute and a half. It was nuts. Bowling Green scored with like 10 minutes left or 10 seconds left. Anyways, that's gonna be a big one. They've got to win over Bowling Green, then they'll have seven wins. And will they be good wins? No, they won't be good wins. But they don't really have any awful losses either. And they're gonna steal a bid from somebody. And bids are getting stolen too. Remember, SEMO's got a good resume, so the OVC is going to do a coin toss. And by coin toss, we mean they're going to, they were reached out to by FCS Fans Nation to see if they were going to broadcast this coin toss. And they told them, no, it won't be broadcast anywhere. And no, we won't reach out for an interview about it. So just put Tennessee Martin in your brackets, unless they absolutely step on their dicks today or this weekend. And so that's stealing another bid. And the at-large has become really hard to come by. And exactly like Tim says, if Davis wins, Montana loses, Montana's out. I mean, this is going to be a shit show.
I don't even know if, even if Davis doesn't win, if Montana loses, I don't know that they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a lock. They might. They're going to get the edge in a similar fashion that NDSU would, because the, let's be honest, the committee does recognize that when it comes to picking at larges, they're not doing a blind vote similar to they do with the seeds. Like, they talk about teams and things like that. And the NCAA knows damn well Montana's going to bid its ass off to host the first round game. And
yeah. I mean,
my dream scenario would be NDSU losing to UND, Montana squeaking in and then getting matched up with NDSU, and NDSU losing the bid and having to go on the road in the first round. How goddamn funny would that be? I mean, they would get sent to us almost automatically for sure, but that would be hysterical. Mm-hmm. And that would be a fun matchup. And those two fan bases deserve each other. And that would be just, I would be just eating popcorn all week over that one. That'd be amazing.
But remember, the only reason game day is going out there is because Brett Vegan's already been part of three of them.
Right.
Okay. Way to make it about you, NDS.
That was so funny. Those guys in particular were joking around, but I also 100% believe there are NDSU fans that actually believe that. So I just love how pissed off Montana fans are just going to bowls instead. That's my favorite part about the whole thing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't deer opener, I'd be texting you guys and be like, hey, you guys want a road trip off of that? Because that'd be fun.
It would be, but that's a pretty long trip, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's for 10 hours driving. 10, 12.
That's a whole weekend just to get there and back.
That's a weekend. Yeah. We leave Friday, get there, and drive back Sunday.
Yeah.
It'd definitely be fun.
Ron Lowney would probably let us crash on his floor in his dorm room or something.
Right.
Right. Sorry.
There's no way Ron's a student.
Oh, we got to find out. Why did he go watch the stupid Texas game? We're way cooler.
Yeah. That is Gonzaga, I guess.
We need to know, Ron, if you are if you're a college student or not. So if you're listening, go ahead and DM us.
There's no way there's a 19 to 22-year-old named Ron.
Man, I grew up with a kid named Diesel. Like,
it's got to be.
Anything's possible.
Definitely in school or just out.
There's no way. Anyway. Chad, do you have the top 25?
I do. Give me a second on that. Go. And share.
No, sure. So now we're getting back on track. Whatever. I don't care.
So SDSU is sitting atop. We got Sac State, Montana State, NDSU, Weber State, Samford, William & Mary, Incarnate Word, Holy Cross, and then Richmond coming in to number 10. The interesting thing will be the seeds. So as far as like, obviously it'll be interesting if we're one or two. I don't really care if we're one and two, honestly, one or two. It'll be interesting to see how the bracket plays out from there. As far as where NDSU ends up, I've went back and forth on this. I would rather have them come to Brookings than meet them in Frisco.
They're going to be way more used to going to Frisco than they are Brookings. Yeah.
And I'll guarantee you, I mean, this is a challenge to SDSU fans. If we end up facing NDSU in Frisco, prove me wrong, but I'll guarantee you Frisco is going to feel like a home game for NDSU.
Ron's still listening.
See, I knew it. Ron's 55. Retired. Good for you, man. Retired.
I couldn't have been further off. Ron's epic. Cheers to Ron.
Cheers to Ron. What a stud. Hey, speaking of studs, I want to apologize. We did our whole game recap, and we did not properly shout out Dakota Iron. If you are looking for any sort of heavy equipment, snow moving equipment, snow season is here. It's not even around the corner. It's here. If you need snow moving equipment, anything along those lines, get a hold of Dakota Iron on the west side of Sioux Falls. They're in Sioux Falls. And now I'm spacing because I feel I'm all flabbergasted. I forgot about Dakota Iron because I'm a bad person. And I don't feel so good about that. I'm going to have to put magic marker Dakota Iron across my forehead for the next podcast or something. Become Dakota Iron Man or something.
It's magic marker. Do it, man. I dare you.
Our apps work. So just scribble it on there. Tears in my eyes as I do it.
Well, you're getting more room up there by the day, so.
Every day.
Seth Meyers says Frisco would be, we're getting up there, aren't we, Brendan?
I could hook it around.
You spell it all out.
Yeah, there's plenty of room for the full thing.
Anyway, Seth Meyers says Frisco would be 65-35 or 60-40 NDSU. I agree. It could even be 70-30.
I think it'd be 60-40.
Yeah.
Don't they have a lot of the tickets already locked up though? Like that's part of the problem.
I mean, somebody does. I have tickets locked up.
Your boy's gonna be looking for a ticket.
You best be getting your head out of your ass, son, and get you some tickets.
Well,
coward.
Some of us feel like we don't want to jinx the team like an announcer.
Well, here's what I do. I'm going either way. And I have gone either way, so I'm not a jinx. I will be present no matter what happens. This will be my third year in a row.
Nice. Tim Havick.
At least this year won't be wearing NDSU stuff.
Yeah, no shit. Screw
Tim Havick asks, does NDSU draft further than four if they beat UND? Blind Resume says six behind SoCon and CAA champ if Samford and Bill and Mary win.
It's a good point.
I could see them going dropping to five.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things. We got to remember the committee's different every couple of years. They switch out, and then the committees will tend to wait. Like there were the years of the quality loss, if anybody remembers those years. There's years where the wins matter, you know. So it's going to depend how much do they weight the name NDSU. I could see them anywhere from three down to five. If they really want to be extreme six, I really doubt six. If I was a betting man, I'd say four or five.
Montana State would have to lose for them to get to three.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. I agree.
But I've seen weirder shit too, I guess.
But you got to remember, these are also people that take stock in the coaches' poll. And there are some coaches like Stig that take it seriously. And there's others that just.
They said they'll consider it, use it as a tool.
Like, I know that
they use it's a bit sketchy,
right? That is sketchy. And to be fair, they like Ben said, they did not say that it's
like
leaned on their heart, right? But I'd also argue, even the coaches like Coach Stig who do put time into it, all he's doing is voting off of scores, and that's a tough way to vote without you don't get any context on the game, i.e., our game with UC Davis.
Or the level of competition, i.e. the SoCon. Oh, I should say the Southland.
Southland. The Southland. I'd go more Southland. I think the SoCon is decent this year. I think the CAA is a little overblown this year, personally. You know, if Joe DeLeon and Sean Anderson listen, the CAA is absolutely not the strongest conference this year. It's not particularly close. But anyways, I digress. The seeding is going to be interesting for NDSU. I'm hoping they get a 5 because realistically, if the committee does look at resumes, and if you listen to the FCS Fans Nation podcast, break it down, I don't see how you can legitimately put NDSU over Samford other than just closing your eyes and stomping your feet and saying, well, the Valley's better because the Valley's been better, and then just giving it to NDSU. Because through all the metrics that they supposedly use for this, ranked wins and things like that, the Samford's got more than they do. It's just the reality.
Yeah, I like Preston McGoy's question, what teams do you feel like could give us trouble in the playoffs? And which, by the way, hoping to see Dayton McGoy back in the playoffs.
Yes.
Miss that guy on the field and excited to see him back. Saw a tweet from him the other day that looked like it could potentially be time for him to come back. As far as teams that I feel like could give us trouble in the playoffs, it's got to be somebody with a scrambling quarterback that can elude our pressure. That's got a good passing attack. Incarnate Word comes to mind. They're easily the best passing team in the FCS right now. Yep. Now you can question, you know, their strength of schedule. They did, you know, whoop up on Southern Illinois. And so, I mean, in Southern Illinois, I mean, that's a team that just lost to NDSU by 3. So, I mean, you can say what you want about them, but they're not a terrible team. They're middle of the Valley. It's not like they're Western Illinois. So, I think that's the type of team that I would be the most worried about.
Yeah. The ones that concern me more aren't the running teams. And I know like Bobcat fans and, you know, like Ron are going to not be happy about that. But we averaged giving up a record low number in rushing yards per game. It was like what's in the 60s, 60 yards rushing per game. And that's facing some pretty run heavy teams. So including NDSU as triple option numbers for running the ball. So a running team doesn't scare me nearly as much. Jordan Fink does bring up Incarnate Word and Brookings in the cold. I could see that. We've seen that before with Southland teams where they come up. I mean, even when like Sam Houston went up to JMU, that's tough for some of these teams when they face a team with a really good defensive line in the cold and an offense that can grind on them, because I don't have a lot of faith in their defense. But like you said, they are concerning because part of the reason that UND game was dicey was because they were able to score some points and score them throwing the ball and do that quick passing game. And Incarnate Word has the talent to do that. Otherwise, you know, there's things that worry about every team. I'm not going to dismiss any team for sure. I think we'll be plenty nervous facing every team. But if we were to generally typecast a team that we were concerned about, I think that'd be pretty much the one.
I mean, I did also say that I think we would be favored against every team for the rest of the season. So that
probably,
I mean, yeah. I don't want to get too cocky, but it also is kind of shows you that the confidence that we have. In the team.
I wouldn't particularly want to see Davis again.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, that's the type of team. They've got that passing attack. That's tough.
I don't want to necessarily face North Dakota again, because I hated that offense they run. I just hate it. I don't know how well it'll play outside in December. But like a Davis or a North Dakota after we've had the 2 weeks without a game, it could be a little bit concerning. But otherwise, you know, and Preston makes a good point. He says, I feel we're doing better containing mobile quarterbacks. And we've done actually a phenomenal job of that this year compared to years past. But yeah, I think those are the teams that concern me a little more. Montana, not so much. Their offense hasn't been earth-shattering, but they do have a very good defense. Idaho. I don't want to face Idaho at all. I want nothing to do with Idaho. No, I don't. They are.
It would be excellent if they're not in the playoffs.
I would love to face Idaho in the national title game. That would be a lot of fun. That'd be a blast. But in the playoffs, first round, I don't want anything to do with Idaho because Eck knows everything about our program. Everything. The man was just here for 6 years. The man came back to watch our players that he's close with play in their senior year. I mean, the dude knows us inside out, and he mm-hmm. is a very smart play caller, and he knows our defense. He knows Jimmy. And yeah, we know their offense, but we don't know their defense. You know, I mean, we do, because we faced them once. We weren't terribly successful because that was USD's coordinator. So yeah, I don't want anything to do with Idaho. That game concerns me not from a personnel standpoint, but just because coaching wise, that I think they have a little bit of an, I don't want to say an edge, but they definitely have a leg up compared to what other teams would have against us.
Yep. All right, let's move on. We're already at an hour here, and thank goodness we don't have a game to preview.
Right. I just got done with the Wax Sun podcast. They went for an hour and a half, so whatever.
All right, we'll move on.
I mean, it's not like it's a challenge to see who can put the highest numbers up.
It could be. Maybe we want to be better than a whack-off. We want to go the distance.
The pick segment brought to you by Shenanigans. Shenanigans, the best spot to go watch Jack's away games, which
absolutely
won't have a Jack's away game for a while, but you can still go check out Shenanigans. It's a good place to go anytime.
Go there for Vikings games.
Go there for Vikings games. Go there to drink gallon jugs of Monster Mules.
Basketball games.
Yeah. Jack's, there you go. Jack's basketball games.
Jack's basketball games. Because we're not going to be home until December now. So
there you go. All right, so the first game we have is Western Illinois going to Illinois State. Illinois State's favored by 19.5. I will take Western Illinois in this one for some reason.
You're taking Western over Southern?
No.
Or no. Who they play?
Illinois
State. I zoned out.
Western Illinois plus 19.5 at Illinois State. I don't think Illinois State's going to have much to play for, and I think they mailed in.
I think SPAC is too good of a coach. I don't that team. They didn't seem like they mailed in anything. The defense is way too good, and I'm gonna be honest. I think that's the Butterburger of the week. I think Illinois State's gonna beat the piss out of them.
All right. Well, good. I need to make up some picks on you, so I'm glad I'm gonna go opposite of you here. Missouri State.
How many do you have to make up?
Too many. Three. So, yeah, I need to go like 4-1. And you need to go 1-4.
You want me to pick first?
Sure.
On all these? Okay.
Missouri State, 11-point favorite at Indiana State.
Missouri State, 11-point favorite at Indiana State? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the trees on that one. I don't think anybody's beaten Indiana State by 11 at home.
I really wanted it. I was hoping you'd take Missouri State.
How high do you think I am? I like that spread.
I do too. I think
that's a good spread. I hope it stays.
Indiana State probably covers that. But it's at Indiana State. I'll take Missouri State. I'll take
desperation is an ugly cologne.
That set in. you and I is a 5-point favorite at USD.
Ooh, I'm going to take the Yotes, man.
I'll take UNI.
USD's done really well at home at keeping games close. So give me the mangy dogs.
Yeah. I liked what I saw of UNI. I think they win this one by touchdown. And then we've got Southern Illinois going to Youngstown State. Southern Illinois is a 4-point favorite here.
Ooh, that is a sticky wicket. Youngstown State's been so weird this year. They're at home. They've got everything to play for. Southern Illinois is coming off a really physical game against NDSU, so I'm going to take the Penguins.
I would like to also take the Penguins here, but I'm tempted to not. I'm not going to. I'm going to go Southern Illinois, taking this one by more than four. Lastly, we've got I'm taking all away teams. This is going to go so poorly.
There's no way that goes badly. There's no way. Oh, yeah.
All right. Last one we got is UND is a 13.5-point underdog at NDSU.
Oh. With Luke in that tackle out, but on the flip side, UND has gotten slaughtered every time in that shopping mall. Like, they have gotten butchered every time they go there. On the flip side, they were really close last year, but again, that was at home. I'm going to take the United States Postal Service because I think they lose by 10.
Take NDSU. All right. This is the only one I'm going to pick the same on. I'll take UND. I wouldn't mind sprinkling the money line on this one. I know UND's history in the Fargo Dome. I think UND's got a chance to win this game.
Is the money line on this one?
It's probably like 3-1, maybe.
It would depend on the value, but I would consider it.
Right. Yeah. To answer the question, we did kind of talk about game day a little bit. We talked about maybe road tripping there, but probably not. It's awesome they got it. It's exciting. Good for the FCS. Good rivalry to highlight. And yeah, it'll be cool.
If it's not going to be at the marker, that's the other spot it should be.
Yeah.
Highlight the FCS. The only other ones I could think of is maybe Lehigh Lafayette, because that game's been played 157 times, which is ludicrous amount of times. And I mean, they sold out Yankee Stadium when they put the game there before. But yeah, that's a big deal. Cats win by 40. I don't know about that. I saw that Montana was favored.
Yeah, they're favored, which is kind of strange. Ben, you should look that up again to see if that line's moved.
What's that?
Who's favored on the Brawl Wild game? Yeah. Cosmo Classics probably
to okay try to too. Help you catch up, Ben.
Yep. Let's see here.
I mean, you're going to have to do some bonus picks next week, right? So
I did see.
No, that's the end of the season. Then we do our playoff picks.
We could pick those two big games, the UC Davis game. UC Davis is a 7.5-point dog at Sac State. I think we'll pick the same there, though. And then
I'm taking Davis.
Yeah, me too. So that one doesn't matter. And then let's see. What else was I looking up? Oh, yeah,
Montana State. The Brawl.
Montana State is a 7-point favorite at home.
Montana State is a 7-point favorite. Ooh, 7 points. Is Montana, does anybody know if Montana's going to have that was the big thing, is they don't know if Montana's going to have their starting quarterback back and they have closed practices to the media. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I would take Montana on that spread. I think Montana State wins, but I think it's going to be close.
I think I want to take Montana too. So those bonus games don't matter.
You wanted to take a whole bunch of games that I took through these picks.
Yeah, well,
I just took it from you.
By the way, Montana is going to be about a plus 230 money line, and UND is going to be like a plus 500 money line.
Ooh.
So.
So that's what, 5-1 odds. Juicy. So if I put $100 on UND, I get $500.
That is correct.
Whoa. That's a spicy meatball right there. Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
All right.
All right. I digress.
Anyway.
Somebody asked what type of whiskey you got in there, Chad.
I believe it's Basil Hayden, but my wife won't answer my text right now. Oh, that's what you're talking to my roommate. So,
barkeep,
smells like it. What kind of whiskey do you put in here?
So, speaking of, Chad was making old fashions at the tailgate, which was awesome. He's not only putting Santa now, he's old fashioned Santa, which I love.
old fashioned pudding shot Santa. We got to make that an acronym because Jesus. Although if we say OF, everyone's going to think he's an accountant, has a special website.
Nobody wants me to be their accountant. I probably use numbers as well as I spell. So.
Oh my God, you could definitely be doing that, Chad. Being putting shot Santa on OF.
Oh, OF putting shot Santa. Oh my God, that just brings up some. No one's going to unsee that mental image that just jumped into everyone's head. So
no one wants to see me in the muscle shirt because the muscles aren't here.
But speaking of the... What I was going to mention about the tailgate, we had a bunch of heaters in there, and it was awesome. The tent setup was so great. Hot. Everybody come check it out.
It was money.
The problem was my 6-year-old stood too close to one of the heaters and burnt one of his Columbia coat.
Yeah. Did you hear Phil's kid did the same thing? And Phil's kid's quite a bit older than yours. Yeah. Yeah. He melted his favorite sweatpants.
At least it was the clothing and no one lit up.
He's not hurt. Yeah.
Was it one of the radiant heaters or was it in front of my NIPCO?
No, it had to be a radiant heater because it had like the rings. Pattern on it.
Yeah. Sure.
It looked like a tiger.
Well, apparently you mentioned OnlyFans.
Someone is listening to us. And,
oh my God.
Matt's going to be so pissed. What? Oh, Matt is going to be so pissed.
Hey, no, those comments aren't getting put up, so we're good.
I'm saying if those start bombarding every episode that comes up.
Is that just because you said OF?
Yeah, probably. Maybe? We never even said it. Or somebody's playing a joke. Is that you, ROT69?
Oh, dude.
Dude, there's another one now, too.
Oh, my God.
That is
you. We didn't even say the words. We
talked about the hub before, but.
Same.
All right. We better end
this. Oh, yeah. We better end this before someone's. My stars. Okay. Yeah. We're kidding. I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Where's Jim popping out when you need him?
Yeah, where's Jim Papa?
Oh, there's another one. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it when you call me Jim Papa. Oh, my God.
They're all over. Okay.
Wow.
All right. We'll end this thing here. Everybody have fun watching other teams play, and then we'll see what happens on Sunday. Tune in to the FCS Fans Nation live reaction. They do a great job on Sunday while the bracket's getting revealed.
Yep. And we might have a megapod with all the assorted podcasts across. We can't hear you, Ben. You're frozen.
I tried to do the Go Big Go Blue. Nobody said anything.
By yourself. Hey, can't blame it on me this time.
By myself.
Oh, God. For the record, the guys that tailgate just to the north of us thought about bringing their 15x10 on like Ben's tent. And then putting Ben's tent on the inside of the corner next week.
How incredible would it be if we turned that entire tailgating area into one interconnected tent city?
Hey, man, if you want to be
that part was of our, like 50 if you, tents.
If you want to be a part of our tent city, just buy Easy Upsides and they'll zip right on and it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Or an ABC canopy. Yeah.
Or ABC sides. I mean,
this is a relevant question. Preston McGoy wants to know, will we be on next Wednesday?
Yes, we'll be reacting to the bracket What's on Wednesday?
The 23rd, which my wife seems to think is her anniversary.
Mm. Well, why would she think that?
It's a long story. We don't got to get into here.
You know, every time that every comment I had was going to get us more bad comments from bots. So I'm just going to let that lie.
There's no way that that actually, that's weird.
That's someone punking crazy, us, I think. Or was that, that was weird. That was super weird. Anyways, we're going to do the mega cast on, I think it's late Sunday. So I don't know when.
This Sunday after the brackets revealed?
Yeah, it'll be after the Big Boy Podcast goes, I guess. Revan is trying to get together a bunch of us lesser podcasts together, and we're all going to shit talk the bracket. So,
how many people can be on StreamYard at a time?
We're going to find out.
Get there earlier. You won't have a seat.
It's going to be like the flipping Brady Bunches. It's going to be squares all the way around waving at each other.
I love it. Zoom call. All right. Let's end this thing. Bring her back. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's bring her home.
Go big. Go blue.
Go Jack. Jack.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to thank our title sponsors, Drake's Place of Bottle and Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro of Brookings. We would also like to thank our other sponsors, Dakota Iron Equipment of Sioux Falls, Shenanigans Sports Bar and Grill in Sioux Falls, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. And as always, Go Jack!